In Luke chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, we read these words, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.'" The marvelous and wonderful worship of all the angels. It's not the first time that the angels had gathered together to worship, for we read in one of the earliest books to be written in the Bible, the book of Job, chapter 38, verse 7, "While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy at the creation of the universe, all the galaxies of space, the angels, on seeing them all, shouted for joy." And Nehemiah says in chapter 9, verse 6, in his prayer to God, he says, "You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens," that's the universe, "and all their starry host, the earth and all that is on it. You gave life to everything, and the multitude of heaven," that's the angels, "worshipped you." What else makes the angels rejoice, dear friends? We read in the New Testament, they rejoice, remember, over just one sinner who repents. Jesus said in Luke 15:7, "I tell you, in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven," that's amongst the angels, "over one sinner who repents and over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." I was talking to a colleague of mine in this city not long ago, and he was telling me that he'd been speaking to another colleague in the privacy of his own study, and in the conversation he had confessed something that was wrong in his life that he needed to repent of. I don't know what it was, but he confessed it to his other colleague, something deep. And after he confessed it, they prayed a prayer of repentance. And he said they came up in him this great joy, like the joy of the angels and the joy of God, welling up in his heart, and it overflowed in him. It came quite unexpectedly, and actually he found himself laughing for joy in the privacy of his own study. This afternoon I was taking a service in Millhaven, a home for the elderly, where my wife Eleanor works, as you know. Now, in the service I was talking about heaven being open to earth when the angels appeared to the shepherds. Not the same message as I've got tonight, but I was talking a bit about the angels. And at the end of the service, I was just talking to the folks and shaking hands, and one of the elderly residents there, an elderly lady, said to me that she often knew the presence of the great joy of the angels, and she was glad that I'd spoken to her because she felt that they were near to her and they were drawing her to them. And she said, you know, it's as if there is great bubbling laughter. That was the word she used. And it reminded me of that minister colleague of mine. She said, it's like that welling up within me. That's just this afternoon she told me that at the end of my message. Now, there was, as well as the shepherds who saw the angels, there were the wise men. Now, who were they? Well, they were the scientists of the day, probably from Persia. Now, what were they looking for? Well, we read in Matthew 2:2, they asked, "Where is the one who's been born the King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Now, as Mr. Ritchie and I were saying together in the vestry before we came in here, I don't know that this is the case, but it may be, about 4 BC, which is when we really believe that Jesus was born, Saturn and Jupiter came together, and they came together in the constellation which the Persians recognize as the Jewish constellation, which would have told them that something's happening amongst the Jews, and they would have set out then. Take them about 3 months to get there. Anyway, they said, "We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Like the angels, They had contemplated the stars. The angels rejoiced when they saw God creating the stars. And these early scientists, these wise men, were also contemplating the stars. Like astronomers today, they wondered, who created all of this? Could it be this little child in the manger, really him? That seems incredible, doesn't it? The stars in the sky, when we look up and see them, tell us that the Creator is there. But we only find him when we come in worship and repentance. You don't find him through a telescope. Imagine the joy of a true scientist when he found the answer and the key to the whole universe. Well, these early scientists, these three wise men, did just that. They saw the star, and then they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. The only way we can know the joy of God and the person of God is through worship. If you want to know a star, you use a telescope. You won't get to know a star through a microscope. You have to use a telescope. If you want to get to know God, it's through repentance and worship. There is no other way. Just as there's no other way of getting to know a star but by a telescope, so there's no other way of getting to know God other than repentance and worship. That is the way of knowing him. Sir Isaac Newton, who was the founder of all modern science, said he could take his telescope and look at millions and millions of stars, millions and millions of miles away in space. And then he said, "But when I lay the telescope aside and go into my room and shut the door and get down on my knees in earnest prayer, I see more of heaven and feel closer to the Lord than if I were assisted by all the telescopes on earth. I see millions of miles into space, but I'm nearer to God when I'm on my knees in my room." And so the wise men bowed before the Lord and confessed him as Lord, and we too must give ourselves to him in worship. The Lord came from heaven to earth. He came, as it were, to our side of sin and sadness, so that he might take us to his side, his glory, through the forgiveness of our sins. The story is told, I was reading, of a famous rabbi who was walking with some of his disciples when one of them asked, "Rabbi, when should a man repent?" The rabbi calmly replied, "You should be sure you repent on the last day of your life." "But," protested several of his disciples, "we can never be sure which day will be the last day of our life." The famous rabbi smiled and said, "The answer to that problem is very simple. Repent now. For this day might be the last day of your life." Let us all, for all of us surely have something we need to turn away from, let us all give the angels that extra joy this Christmas time and repent and come back to God. And if there's anyone here who has never turned back to God, not even for the first time, then please see me afterwards and we'll pray together that you can come back to the Lord. For there is more joy over one sinner that repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Let us pray. Lord, we rejoice at the creation of the heavens and the earth like your angels did. But we rejoice even more that you, the creator of the heavens and the earth, should come in your Son Jesus, stoop to our level, that we might see into your eyes and learn of you face to face in him. And so we bow before you, and as we bow before you, we turn away from everything that's wrong in our life, so that there might be joy again. amongst the angels of heaven. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.